let's look at chapter 12 in Daniel, and we'll just probably be in verses number 8 through 13. We'll read those, so it won't be long this morning. We'll get in here and look, and I didn't bring my other glasses, but I can see, I think, if I lean my head back far enough. Verse number 8, chapter 12, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go by thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." And that's reading chapter 12 of Daniel, verses 8 through 13. I guess this morning, if we had to look at something, I guess for a title, we'd go back to verse number 8. I heard but understood not. And then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? In other words, Daniel's asking a question. He said, I heard, but I understood not. You know, we think about, even with the gospel, sometimes we hear preaching, but we understand not. Hear the word of God being read, you understand not. When you get saved, of course, you got the Holy Spirit. It hopefully helps with that, understanding what you read. Discernment is what the word I was trying to look for. And so with Daniel here, he's talking about, I think, the time of the end times. And you recall the prophets of old, in the Old Testament, and I saw this, depicted one time on a picture, and it's always stuck with me. They only saw mountaintops. And so even though they were prophesying, they had faith in what they were prophesying in, that there'd be a redeemer for mankind and a savior and a king of Israel, they could see those mountaintops. But they didn't see a lot of the valleys of the times in there. And the way this was depicted, and like I said, I keep it in my mind, it was hard for them to see the church age. In other words, that was more in a valley, or it would be a little, not that it's a downtime, the church age, but a dip. In other words, they couldn't see that. They prophesied along those lines as far as the nation went of Israel, as far as the Savior, but they couldn't always, you know, if you look over in the Old Testament, that there'd actually be there'll be a time of the Gentiles, but at the same time, to see the actual church. And so I think that's what Daniel, when he's asking here, he said, I heard, but I could not understand. And said, then said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And so there's questions about life and death that Daniel's got. And if you think about just religions today, and you know, I think about, you know, out in Utah, you know, I think they've got the Mormon church, and I think that that person's referred to as like a chief apostle, or, you know, a chief, the leader of the church. You know, of course, you know, with the Mormons, there was a Book of Mormon found, and, you know, scripture lost, and et cetera. And that's how they came up, of course, went across the country, and anyway, long story short, and ended up out in Utah and formed their own church, and a chief apostle, so to speak. And you can be on the same level as God. That's I think that's some of their teachings. And if you go back and look, I know in just the history of this nation, especially a lot of the federal government, the FBI and a lot of your, secret services and those things, they would look to Mormons sometimes as, recruits because of their loyalty to the church and what their church stood for. And again, out in Utah, but again, they didn't know Christ as their Savior, didn't know the true and living God. And I'm not picking on them this morning. I'm just saying that's a group you wonder if they wouldn't fall under this too. I heard, but understood not. I'll give you another example. Think about the Catholic Church with the Pope over in Rome. They've heard Scripture, Some have, I'm sure, maybe read in churches on or where they meet during the week. Mass, I was trying to think of the right term, but they heard and understood not. Just different ones. So you think about, and again, I'm not picking on them. I'm just pointing that out. They could turn around and they might have a lesson this morning. Said, yeah, those Baptist churches, fundamental Baptist churches, they hear and understand not. But I'd have to take exception to that. If we turn over to Acts chapter 2, you'll see an example of what Daniel was asking. And you'll know where I'm going here this morning again. To hear and understand not. Of course, this is the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And that kind of lines up right there with verse number 8. It said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And again, I was talking about those mountaintops that the prophets could see. And Daniel, and we think about Hosea and others, that they could look and they saw those down through time. God gave them that ability. But the church age, again, I don't think, and again, how that was depicted, and it was a guy had drew that out back in, it was C.J. Larkin that come to mind who that was back in the 1800s, had put that on a graph he'd drawn, and that, like I said, it's just the church age was something that was a mystery to them. But we look in chapter 2, and that answers part of that question in verse number 8, back over in Daniel. It said, when the day of Pentecost, this is in Acts, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthenians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and in Pontus and Asia. Phrygia, and I'm trying to Pamphylia in Egypt and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? See, there's a question again as well. I heard, but I understood not. So here in Acts, or in the beginning of the church here, as they begin to preach in the day of Pentecost, they begin to understand. They begin to hear, and they hear it in their own language. And as God's men, the apostles, stand up to preach, they begin to ask the question, what meaneth this? We hear them preaching about God, and it's in our own language, but we knew these men from before. They're all Galileans. And so how's this happen? And, of course, there's always, and I've heard this pointed out, Brother John's pointed this out, Pastor's pointed it out, I'm sure Brother Thurman has before. I'm mentioning the different ones that teach. Brother Gale has. Everybody, look at verse number 13, and you've heard this. Oh, devil's always got a crowd. And here's verse number 13, see. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. There's always, when you look in Scripture, and you're studying that out, and something's getting ready to happen big, the devil crowd's always around there somewhere. And that, see, I like what Brother Steve said last Sunday. Remember, he talked about, mentioning about Paul, and how, the devil's crowd's always around, but we know that God's always going to come out his side on the winning side. Remember, he said, how did he put that? That God took the, and he was at the time one of the most educated men of the Jews who was persecuting the church, turned him around and made him the apostle who gave the church the majority of the New Testament. You think about that in his preaching. So he took what the devil had, the devil's crowd, turned it around, saved him, and turned out to be one of the most, not all the apostles, they were all had their place, and God had that, and had their, direction God wanted them to go. We talked about James before, gave us the first book of the Bible, as far as we know, in the New Testament for the church, and It's really down where you're living, daily livings. That's what he saw with Christians each day and warnings that he gave them. But Paul gave us a lot of the New Testament. He turned that around. So here again, devil's crowd comes in mocking. And you know, when I read that, it always makes me stop and wonder, you know, what did they hear versus the others? The others were, man, I'm going to go, how are they doing that? I just can't believe that. How are we hearing that in our own language? And we're hearing about God. And you might have another fellow next to him saying, oh, they're drunk with wine. I remember Darius Horn used to say he never could figure it out. And he said it wasn't for him to figure out is what he'd say. But he said, I'll preach. And he said, let's say if there's a movement in a congregation, or he said, I'll be in a service and hear preaching. And he said, you might have one or two here go to the altar. You might have one or two saved. He said, you might have one or two back there somewhere. He said, I don't know if it's lost, but they never move. And he said, you wonder, you know, what they hear versus the others. He said, that just shows you the power of the gospel and of the word of God. And I remember him saying that. And that's another example, that's a side note I know, of that here. Why you had that one crowd mocking, but next to them you had a crowd that was, they were asking questions. Anyway, let me move on. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, yea, men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken. And see, that's another thing I thought too. Now, did he actually hear them say all they're drunk were wine? Or was that just the Holy Spirit saying, man, they think you guys are up here drunk, speaking in another language, or just babbling? And he, known unto you, said, hearken to my words, these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Again, one of those Old Testament prophets. Could see, looking out into the future. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so he went back and he reminded them of that. Well, that goes over here to Daniel, that verse number 8, said, I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he begins to get the answer in verses 9, 10, and 11 as he goes through that, Daniel. And he records that for us. Well, we see some of that coming true here in Acts chapter 2 as we move along. And as God uses the apostles. And that's why, and given that example I did of the churches, and I know I used two churches there, but you wonder, you know, they got off track somewhere. And you know, maybe following the wrong one. What was that? Was it the Mormon church? They said they found a tablet or something somewhere up in Massachusetts or Connecticut, one of those New England states, and, you know, took it across the country. If I remember all that right, I'd have to go back and look, and I don't know their history that well, but, you know, they heard but didn't understand. Was that the case? You know, a lot of times we think about that with our children. I know that with dealing with students at school. They talk about use a pyramid approach with them. And, you know, my first approach sometimes, not only with my children, but at school is, well, you didn't do the work, you didn't show up, so that's zero. And, you know, that's just kind of how I go. And you say, well, that should be right. Yeah, I guess it should be, but I guess what they want us to do, and they sent us this little class this summer, is we're supposed to back up and ask, well, why did you not do the work? Why did you not come? And I can see that from one standpoint of making sure there's not problems. You know, I had one student one time had to take a night job to be able to pay his, rent because his wife lost her job. But as soon as she got a job, he was able to go come back to school, et cetera. So I could see trying to ask that, but that's one of those things where I would have been listening but didn't understand. In other words, I went right to the final product. Nope, you're out of here. We'll see you. Rather than saying, okay, what got you to that point? And you just wonder sometimes, and you get into these false religions, if someone should have stopped along the way and said, what got us to this point? Why are we traveling across the country? Or why do we look for a man that rides around in a little you know, a bulletproof mobile. You know, that's who we want to go see. You know, it just makes you stop and think. Somebody didn't sit back sometimes and say, well, what about this other group over here down in Kingsport or down in Alabama, or as John, or Brother John said today, remember the churches of like faith that gather around the nation, you know, different time zones and stuff. Some of them are just getting up. Some of them are starting to get to the church, et cetera, turning their lights on. And I always think about that as well. You know, do they stop and think and what they believe? And anyway, I say that because, and I spent a lot of time on the first question really that he had, and I heard but I understood not. And the Lord went on to explain that to him. Verse number 9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. In other words, what he was telling Daniel there, he already knew it was going to happen in Acts. He already knew it was going to be a church. He already knew Peter was going to stand up. He already knew that some of the crowd was going to think they were drunk with wine. He already knew that. And he said, you know, I've heard Billy Mitchell say many a times, said not all in the Bible, what does he say? All of it's to us, but not all of it's for us. I think that's how he said that before. And he said, you know, not all is for us to understand. In other words, for Daniel here, there's some things God just knows, and he knows how it's going to turn out, and he knows how it's going to happen, and there's just some things that we don't know or can't know or won't know. Way above here, our thinking is. You know, we've got a curious mind, people do. You know, that's like, I think about my neighbor there getting in those yellow jackets yesterday. A lot of that he had was just curiosity after he got in them because he was puzzled. He said, where are they coming from? I got to figure that out. And that's what he told me. He said, I got to figure out where these are coming from. He said, you or these girls are going to get stung. He said, I can't have that happen. And he figured out where they was coming from. They was coming behind the dryer vent. They got into the wall. And he curious. And see, we're a lot that way too. We get over into Genesis. Kim and I, we went to, and the girls when we were in Houston, we went to a museum there. They had death by natural causes. And Jesse wanted to go to that. And I told her, so, well, I'll go to it with you. And it was a pretty good exhibit. And it just had different ways, you know, people die, you know, talk about lightning strikes and, you know, we're concerned about this or that. And I might have told you that. You know, they had a few places where they'd have bodies laid out, you know, under like a glass case, you know. And they'd have a little box there. I don't know if I told y'all that last week or not. And it'd be dark in that room. And that little box would say sticky hand, you know, sticky hand in the box. And it'd tell you what they died of. Well, Jesse and I, we'd wait around. Somebody else come along, stuck their hand in the box. Because I'd look at her, I'd say, well, stick your hand in your box, see what they died of. I'm not sticking my hand in the box, is what Jesse would say. She'd say, Dad, you stick your hand in the box. I said, no, I'm not sticking my hand in the box. So what we'd do, we'd pretend like we was looking at stuff on the walls. And then somebody would come along, we'd say, oh, you go ahead. They'd stick their hand in there, you know, and say, ooh, like something like that, you know. And Jesse and I would look at each other and might come up and say, Black Widow, or whatever, you know. And then come along, and then it'd give you the how many people die and stuff like that. Then it might come along and say anthrax or something. But anyway, I say that because that was just curiosity. Well, we moved over into where they had the dinosaur bones. And I've had that question I don't know how many times. And Kim and I started talking about it. She said, well, you know, they found these bones. They put these skeletons together. They found one in an oil tar pit in Texas. It was almost a complete animal. And she said, you know, nobody made these bones. Said God had to make them. They're here. She said, just when were they here? You know, she said, I don't believe, you know, when they do all this dating and, you know, they said, they had also an exhibit, which we didn't go through, of the Big Bang Theory, so to speak. And, of course, that was down right next to it. And trying to brainwash these young people because, I guess, daycare children coming through in the summertime, and they were a little older than the 4, 5, 6-year-olds, but I guess programs for kids in the city, they could go. And that's something we talked about. And I said, that curiosity of Genesis, that's what I was getting to. You know, we're still curious when we go back and read chapter 1. Was there anything before verse 1? But according to Scripture, there wasn't. But how long a period did that last in verse 1? And I'm getting off track, I know, but the curiosity there that we have still, and we see that in Daniel. And we see that in the people who were listening to the apostles preach, but they were hearing it in their own tongue. We're just a curious people. We ask questions. We want to know more. And you think about when you're lost, you're curious. You hear that and feel that pounding in your chest and your heart, and you hear the word being preached, and you become curious. You want to know more. But then, back to the same question we had before. Why are some curious? Some are not. Why are some have a negative approach? I don't want to hear that anymore. But you do. So Daniel asked that question, and again he's told, verse number 10, said, many shall be purified or made perfect and made white and tried. And as you look here, and he said, of course, tried there means refined. Talk about trial by fire or purified like you would gold or silver. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. See, again, there's the wicked. Just like we saw over there with the apostles. There was that crowd said they're drunken. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. In other words, the ones that are saved, the ones that and God's people shall understand, the ones with wisdom. And stay right where you're at, and I'll turn, where was that at? I think that was over in Psalms. Let me turn here and look. I think I had... I think it was... Hold on just a second. I don't like to... I should have jotted that down. I think it's Psalm 50. Let's see here. Let me get over there. I can find it. It's about David. He understood and understands. You knew that. 51. I said 50, but it's 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So David knew, and I can go ahead and read the rest of that sometime if you want to, over in Psalm 51. That's only reading verses 1 through 6. But verse number 7, too, as well, said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be made whiter than snow. So as you look through the Scripture, and Daniel, see, he asked that question. Of course, we know Daniel knew. Again, that was, I think, just Daniel's way of as, again, he's looking forward into the future. Of course, you know, that wraps up chapter 12, or the last chapter of Daniel, the time of the end times, is, I guess, in the setting where Daniel was asking that. But David here is an individual, we know after God's own heart, that also knew the importance of wisdom and knowing God, and again, being tried and made white. And as we see here, and we go on, and there's a day we'll be made perfect. I guess I'd mentioned that earlier, and he saw that as well. Now, speaking of Paul earlier, and I did have this marked, I'll go over here to Titus real quick. I didn't write it down, but Paul makes a statement over in Titus 3:5. Here I said that, and I did that on purpose. Here we go. If you'll find here, it said, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. See, that lines right back up with Acts chapter 2. Lines back up with what we see in Daniel asking that question as he looks forward into time. All right, let's see here. All right. Back to Daniel here. We'll go to our next verse, Daniel 12. And from the time that the Daniel, verse number 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, that shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to 1,305 days. But go thy way till the end be. Thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. In other words, verse number 13 is referring to faith. Have faith. He said, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. In other words, you should you'll arise at your time or at the appointed time. You'll receive your inheritance when it's time. And as Daniel, as here he's an elderly man, he passes away, he says, go, take thy rest. But as we look and we study, there's a lot here in Daniel concerning the wicked. We saw that again over in Acts. We can go back over to 2 Timothy. We talk about how wicked the earth or the men are becoming. Lovers of themselves. And as we go back and look in the New Testament, and as Daniel's looking forward, that's something, though, that God's not going to be taken by surprise at either. But the wicked shall not understand. The wise will understand. The wicked will never understand. Again, I've said before, and we've heard it said here, people, I'm sure, that don't attend church, they wonder, why do they get up, get dressed up, get in a car, drive to church every Sunday? There's so much more they could get done. There's so much more. If they stayed at home, they could get the yard mowed. Boy, their yard gets a little high, but boy, they won't mow it on Sunday because they go down to church. I'm just using examples of, or boy, they could get more done at work if they'd come in on Sunday. You know, we were talking, they're moving our office buildings around, and we'll be moving into a new building. And the last time we moved into a building was 12 years ago. And if you want anything done, you know, you have to get on a list. They send it over to the main campus, and they'll have somebody come over and hang pictures or whatever you want done. Of course, you know, somebody might come over and might have two pictures to hang. They might come over in 2 months, and it might take them 2 days to hang those two pictures. And so you got to work around that. So the first time we moved, like on a Saturday, I took my hammer drill in and my DeWalt drills and took all my equipment and let people borrow it, you know. Of course, some of the walls were brick, and we went in on a Saturday because nobody's there, and at the same time, you don't want somebody to be teaching in a class down the hall or somewhere, and all of a sudden you hit the brick with a hammer drill. And anyway, we were talking about that again this time, and somebody spoke up and said, well, we can just come in on Sunday morning. We can just get biscuits and come in, and somebody can have coffee or have whatever you want. And before I could say anything, another fellow spoke up and said, I won't be here on Sunday. He said, I'm going to church. And then somebody else, I said, well, yeah, I wouldn't be here on Sunday. I'd go to church. And they looked at us funny. He said, oh boy. I said, I don't go to church. They asked him. I said, well, you ought to come to church with me. The comment was, I said, I only got 2 days on the weekend. I said, Saturday's just really a catch-up day. He said, well, if I didn't have Sunday, he said, I'd be so far behind when I started Monday. So I use Sunday a lot of times just to get caught up, finish up grocery store, things like that, get me ready for the week. And I think about that, that's somebody they don't understand.
That's the reason he's behind.
That's right. That's the reason he's behind. That's exactly right, Brother Gale. They just don't understand. So they hear, but understood not. They see, and you could almost put see there. That's me putting that there. But, you know, they see and still understand not. And anyway, that's all I had this morning for you. Just Daniel asked that question. Of course, he knew the answer, looking down through time. He's an old man coming to the end of days. And if you go back and look at the day of Pentecost, go back and, like I said, read 2 Timothy, talk about the end times and what we see. And go over and look at David in Psalms. He'll tell you what how important it is, or in the Psalms, of following and worshiping the true and living God.